This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
Oh, there's going to be a show indeed, because you are listening to the Celtic Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. Very quickly, this is the Celtic Takeover, of course, for the next 30 minutes, everything where Celtic are concerned. But there are games going on tonight. The FA Cup is in action. The replays, the third round replays are going on. And a quick recap of that. Blackpool at home to Reading. Reading are 1-0 up. Coventry are beating Bristol Rovers 1-0. Newcastle straight out of the blocks, 3-0 beating Rochdale at St James's Park. Shrewsbury Bristol City is 0-0, and Tottenham quick out the blocks themselves, 25 minutes played, it is 2-0 to Spurs. But those are your scores, and this is the Celtic Fan Show for the next 30 minutes, as it always is, every Tuesday, 8:30 to 9. And when we do a Celtic takeover, there's only one man good enough for the job. It is John McGinley, who joins me now from the Grand Old Podcast. John, thank you for joining us as always and being the Celtic Fan Show. And if you've got a Celtic opinion, you want to ask John a question or put it to us and get your thoughts heard, because this is Love Sport, the station that gives you a chance to have your say, and tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 70 20 558. John, firstly, how are you? I'm looking forward to football being back, because the winter break ends this weekend. Celtic back in action, and it can't come soon enough, can it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm delighted about that, and that's why I'm happy this evening. You know, we've been waiting patiently for the football to return, been reflecting on a poor result coming off into the winter break, been waiting on signings to happen. One's happened today, Charlie, so it's all looking positive.
Yeah, it is looking positive. We spoke about it last week at length. You know, the last game, you're only as good as your last game. It's a cliche, but it's true. It happened to be Rangers. It happened to be that defeat. You never want to lose to Rangers and have that being the last game you spoke about. We can now concentrate, turn our attention to real football being played. Partick Thistle in the Scottish Cup this weekend. We'll look at that a little later. But you're right, big news where Celtic are concerned, because even though it is the winter break, it is the silly season, it is January transfer window. Patrick Klimala, I'm hoping I'm pronouncing that right, I should say. He has signed today. He himself said intense negotiations over the last 24 hours. He's young, he's a striker, hopefully producing the goods. If you do know any about him, John, what are you making of this deal?
No, I mean, obviously I haven't seen him play live or anything like that, but obviously I've been also doing a little bit of research, as every fan does when their club signs a new player, especially a striker. So this guy's coming in and looking to compete for places immediately. I'm assuming the reported fee is at around £3.5 million, which isn't inconsequential by Celtic standards. So there is a little bit of expectation that he can, you know, kind of become the second striker to Odson Edouard ahead of Lee Griffiths and Vicente Bayo. And there is also some sort of suggestion that he might even be playing alongside Edouard if Lennon decides to kind of change tact with the way that he sets out his tactics. So I think that's going to be exciting for fans over the next few weeks to see just exactly where he fits in, and whether Lennon's going to try and use the Celtic attack in a different way now that he's brought another, you know, supposedly first-choice striker into the club. Now, he's played in Poland previously, and he scored 7 goals this season, 17 league appearances, so not the most prolific, but Celtic fans will know that Odson Edouard wasn't a prolific striker before he arrived in Scotland, and he's doing just fine. So there's a bit of excitement about what he can offer.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to touch and talk about Edouard a little bit later. But just obviously on Patrick, 21, obviously, you know, it's going to be a completely change for him, you know, new league, new country, new style of football. Mm-hmm. It's always difficult when you sign a player mid-season in that winter window to get them up to speed, and especially one that is 21. You're mentioning already could start, could play alongside Edouard, could hit the first team. I know we want our signings to hit the ground running, and this is obviously a signing with long-term view in mind, you know, for the long-term future at 21. But is this the case that we're expecting, you know, a quick impact, you know, straight off the bat here, John?
I think that it's slight expectation of that. Now, fans will always, you know, be patient with players if the manager sets the expectation to do that. Lennon hasn't really talked about him to date. He's not really given an indication on what his expectations for the player are. So until we hear that from the manager, which will likely be tomorrow, then we don't exactly know. But when you sign a player for a few million quid at Celtic, there's always some sort of excitement that they're going to come straight into the team. We have Edouard, we love Edouard, but we've also noted in recent weeks before the winter break that the slight clinical edge of Celtic had kind of waned a little bit, and we've been looking for perhaps a penalty box player who can take advantage of that. And the fact that Scott Sinclair's left the club and perhaps Lewis Morgan's on his way to Major League Soccer, getting rid of wingers and bringing in a striker, to me, says that Lennon's looking for something different in the final third.
Yeah, obviously heavily involved in those transfers. I know fans, you know, we're thirsty for action, thirsty for transfer signings and thirsty for gossip and speculation. Mm-hmm. If you could added a player of this window, would you have said that strikers where they did need a little bit of depth, a little bit of help? Was this, because it surprises me, this move, or are you less surprised, John, in the terms of you thought that if we're going to add somewhere, it will be up top?
Yeah, I'm not surprised at all, mainly because beyond Edouard, we don't really have anyone that we have trust in as supporters. I think the trust that Lee Griffiths had built up during his years at the club, one season he scored 40 goals, for example, has definitely evaporated. And there's been no sign that Bayo, who was a January signing last season, is able to do anything in this team today, because he's either been injured or Lennon hasn't quite fancied him, and he's looked pretty raw and he has had minutes on the pitch. So there was a definite depth issue for a lot of people, myself included. And I think that it's not surprising at all that Lennon is looking to address that. And I think we'll see perhaps Bayo or Griffiths perhaps even leave on loan or something before the end of January, because they just, as I say, they've just not been up to scratch this term. And so it's a good thing that we've brought the striker. It's expected. It's where I would have wanted to strengthen. I still think we need to strengthen in one or two more key areas. But the horror situation of Edouard getting injured in the second half of the season would have been a nightmare before. If that happens now, we've at least got some sort of solid backup plan if the club have scouted this guy correctly, as you'd hope.
Yeah, that's it. Not just hopefully can he contribute straight away, but obviously in the terms of depth, you know, now you've got that player, should there be an injury or suspension. Just on Edouard, there are a couple of rumours flying around, John. I don't know if it's a little bit of social media mischievousness or, you know, player agents and social media up to their old tricks, but rumours that maybe, you know, he could be potentially on the way of moving. It's not Celtic looking to sell, but if they get the right offer, is this all nonsense? What have you made of this news?
I would suggest that is nonsense in terms of the January window. I think it's unfathomable for him to leave this January in the middle of the season when we're going for a ninth league title in a row. I think there's, you know, a serious chance he could go in the next transfer window in the summer. Celtic have prided themselves in recent years on developing young players and moulding them into players that can go into a more elite level or a more illustrious league, selling them for big profit. And I think that Edouard's future is very much on that path as well. But we can't be selling our best players mid-season. I don't care who they are. I don't care, you know, what money we're offered. Just, it's a big no. Mid-season, it's an absolute no. In the summer, we can talk about it and assess their options, and the club will look to see, you know, what the market's out like there, what value they'd be getting for the player. So I would hold fire on that one for about 6 months or so. If any English fans are getting excited about signing Edouard, then I've got a simple message for them. It's definitely hands off at the moment.
John, I think that message is coming across loud and clear. That message is stay away. I nearly fell off my chair. It's the most passionate and animated I've ever heard from you. The message is stay away. We're not selling anyone in this transfer window. The message coming out of Celtic, I think we've got that one, John. It's interesting, though, because just on this window as a whole, not necessarily even that Celtic perspective, but, you know, certain managers in the past aren't a fan of this winter window because it can disrupt the vibe in the team, you know, agents trying to get involved and then the dressing room spirit you've got. Is that something, then, what you've just said there, that you kind of go along with yourself, John?
No, I think in Celtic's specific example, I think it can be a real benefit. Now, I'm not suggesting that it's an easy window to do your business in, but with Celtic, there needs to be a real plan in the head towards summer qualifiers, because we've been left shorthanded and we've been left kind of, you know, short in key positions, especially in defence in recent years going into these qualifiers. So I think the club need to use January as a way to bring players into the club that can then perform at a high level for the club in these pre-season qualifiers, because that's a real key revenue generator for Celtic, and it's a key thing Celtic fans want to see. They want to see the club in the Champions League. And so to bring players in early, get them in the door, get them playing for 6 months, and then, you know, they're ready to go for what is often our most difficult games of the season. That's what everyone wants to see. So I think it's a good opportunity for Celtic, and I wish we'd have utilised the January window better in previous years. And I think this year there's a little bit of expectation that with Nick Hammond in as our kind of head of football operations and Neil Lennon kind of building his own identity at Celtic off the back of the Rodgers era, that we're going to get the players that we want in. So.
Yeah, and there's also a little bit, John, it feels like, you know, sometimes when you do make, not wrong signings, but you make a few signings in that winter window, and then you tie them down to higher wages, and then you can't really get them off the books. There feels like a little bit of outgoings this month as well. And I'm not saying Lennon wants to trim his squad, because we're hoping for a few additions, but sometimes it's good to get the players that aren't in the picture, aren't in the vision, so it is the players under Lennon's regime. And then, you know, who knows, if they go on this further Europa League adventure, a bit more European money in the pot also.
Yeah, I think that's true, and I think, you know, trimming the squad's fine if it's done in the right way. I think fans have, we spoke about this last week, but I think fans have been expecting Scott Sinclair to go for a while, and he's reported to be one of our higher earners. So, you know, getting a couple of million a year off the wage bill, I think, is big for a club like Celtic, that they can reinvest in other players. And Lennon's at the start of his new cycle at Celtic. I mean, he's been in the door for less than a year. He's only had one transfer window prior to this, and it was a very successful one in many fans, you know, eyes. And so he's looking to bring in more players and get a Celtic team in the park in exactly the way he wants to play. And I think there's change expected in terms of that. I think there's some fans who think we might see a slight change in formation, or just a slight way change in the way everything's set up. So I think that's going to be exciting to see, especially coming up with a match against Partick. It'll be interesting to see what the lineup is.
Yeah, obviously a cup game, important to see what Lennon does there. Just on Lennon, it's sort of changing tact a little bit here, John. Obviously, he was put in temporary charge, you know, after Rodgers left, and then he got the permanent job. Was that always the plan, to see how he went and then he stays in the job, or, you know, it worked out well? Because obviously he was there before, now he comes back. There was a little bit of history when he went away. How has this evolved now? We're talking about the players that Lennon wants to sign to, you know, implement his ideas, implement the system and the tactics and ones that fit his regime. Was this always the long-term goal?
I think in the Celtic board's eyes it was, and I think that in many other fans' eyes it was the fact that we were going to go out and get a top-tier name again. But I think this has been the plan, was to get Lennon back and to install someone just above him as a buffer between Lennon and our chief executive, who's Peter Lawwell. I think when Lennon left the club before, I think there was a little bit of friction there, because I think it's been seen for a while that Lawwell perhaps has had a little bit too much control over the football department at Celtic. But now we've got Nick Hammond in there, who's acting as that buffer, in constant communication with Lennon, and knows a bit more about perhaps the financial sides of it too, and negotiating with clubs and scouting players. So I think the structure we've got right now is... It worked well in the summer, and I was sceptical of it, and I came out of that window feeling really good. And so I think there is a plan here, and Lennon's been part of that plan for the Celtic board from day one. Celtic fans were a bit sceptical to begin with, but I think he's won them over by now.
Yeah, he's won them over. I'm excited to see this second half of the season and Lennon's future goal. Obviously, the Scottish Premiership title race is absolutely on fire, but it is the Scottish FA Cup on the weekend. We're going to be talking about that Partick official game and looking towards seeing how the second half of the season may go.
Giving your team a voice. Love Sport Radio.
You are listening to the Celtic Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, and John McGinley, my co-host for the Celtic Takeover. We were just talking about that January transfer window and football finally being back for Celtic. Partick Thistle on the weekend in the Scottish FA Cup, which we're going to look at now. But big news, I know you're already all over it and across it. Celtic have signed Polish striker Patrick Klimala today for £3.5 million, 21, hoping for a quick impact. John is saying that, but there is still time for you to have your say play tonight. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. You can WhatsApp on the same number. Put a question to John all about Celtic and we can see if your views are the right ones going ahead for the second half of the season. John, just on Partick Thistle. Now, you mentioned, obviously, it's interesting to see how what side Neil Lennon puts out this weekend. Will he rotate? Just on that and the Cups, because Celtic are doing so well in the Europa League, I know that was the aim, that was the expectation and the hope, but they are doing well, reaching the knockout stages. They're in a fierce battle in that Scottish Premiership. They've already won the League Cup. Is there a case that, and of course, not for one second am I implying that Celtic, you know, disrespect the Cups because of the incredible run they're on at the minute, you know, trebles on the bounce, the treble, but will they at some point go, look, our focus here is the Premiership and it is the Europa League. That cup, the Scottish FA Cup, does kind of, in a way, have to take a smaller priority and a back seat a little bit.
I mean, perhaps. I think, you know, the Scottish Cup's a proud competition and it's one of the oldest competitions in the world. And I know you're not suggesting that. I think it's still a big priority for Celtic fans, for Celtic, I would suggest. Now, that might change depending on what happens in the Europa League, like you mentioned. I think the Copenhagen doubleheader, I think after that is going to determine a lot about how we feel about the second half of the season. If we get through a knockout round in Europe, you know, it's all hands on deck for Celtic in terms of European will be a big, massive priority as well as the league, and the Scottish Cup will take a backseat. I think for now, it's still a big priority, and I think, you know, the upcoming match is a chance for Celtic to show that they've not missed a step despite that loss to Rangers. I think that they'll be looking to send out a bit of a statement and get through another round, and then we'll see what happens after the Copenhagen match. Got a lot of league games coming up as well, and we're playing away a lot of the time. So it's a tricky period for Celtic, and they need to be, you know, firing all cylinders right from the off this weekend.
Well, this is exactly it, because obviously it has been a winter break. They'll have time to prepare for Partick Thistle. They'll be absolutely rejuvenated for the clash. It's their first game back, wanting to make a statement of intent, especially after the last time and the last game that we saw them. But this is it, really, John. It's going to get really busy soon. Games coming every few days, a lot of games away. If they progress on the weekend, and then incoming that Europa League, incoming those Premiership games, not everyone can play every game, and there starts to become a thing where they will have to make a little bit of a choice, won't they?
Yeah, and it's actually something I expected to see more of in the first half of the season. Brendan Rodgers was an awful one for rotating the team quite a lot. Neil Lennon's kind of resisted that temptation for the most part. He's kind of gone with his tried and trusted from Thursday to Sunday on these matches. I think there's room, if we make the right signings, there's room to kind of perhaps rest the likes of Edouard or Forrest a little bit more than he has been doing. I think some of those players looked noticeably tired towards the end of December, which was a really brutal month, but I think James Forrest in particular, you know, his early season form kind of dried up a bit. So if he can come back fresh and he's all fired up, then Lennon needs to seriously consider rotating them in matches he deems perhaps less important or more winnable, or winnable even without Forrest in the team, because we need him at his best. We need players like Edouard at his best, Callum McGregor, etc. So I think there should be a little bit more rotation, and then it'll be, as you say, it'll be interesting to see whether that happens.
Yeah, and it's interesting. Now you have obviously signed Patrick Klimala. Maybe that is where the rotation would come from. Mm. You're saying that straight away we want to see, you know, him hitting the ground running, and maybe this will be the time to rest players like the lad of Edouard and Forrest, because, you know, Patrick can step right into that side. So maybe we'll see Lennon maybe doing something he isn't best known for, and that is rotation. Just on that, John, and the winter break, obviously the English Premier League doesn't do a winter break. It's always famous for being a little bit behind. The foreign leagues do winter break. How much of an impact has it had on Celtic, just having that little respite, going on those warm weather training camps and, you know, those injuries, finally getting rid of them, you know, just the players getting fresh and ready to kick on for the second half of the season? That's part A of the question. And part B, what have the fans made of that winter break? How has it worked up there, John?
I think the fans enjoy it up here. I think now you'd obviously have to ask the teams in the rest of the Scottish Premiership. I think really it benefits Celtic and Rangers most of all because our schedules have been so busy over the last few seasons. And I think down in England, it would probably benefit the teams that are in Europe most of all. I think that for Celtic in particular, it's been really good though, because I think that, as you say, I don't really see a downside to it really, apart from there being a little bit of squeeze in fixtures on either side of it. I think that it's a real benefit to go away after a big derby just before New Year. You know, the players get a few days rest just without even thinking about training. Then they're heading to Dubai, you know, likely luxurious surroundings. They're all bonding at the team hotel. They're all training, nice weather, no Lennox Town snow, no rain, no wind. It's been stormy up here, as it often is in Scotland. And so I think that all helps the players feel rejuvenated mentally as well as physically. And I think last season that you saw was a real benefit. Celtic were pretty atrocious going into the winter break last year. Came out of it looking really good prior to Rodgers' departure and then Lennon eventually coming in. So I'm all for it. And I think if you're a fan of a big team in England that's playing in Europe every week, I think they should be for it too.
Yeah, I know. They're sort of trialling down here. I'm sure you're aware that where mm-hmm. you play 2 weeks in a row in February, then you have a week off, depending whether you mm-hmm. go week A or week B. So there will be 1 week off in February for the teams. Mm-hmm. That's the best we can do at the minute, John, down here. We're very mm-hmm. slow out the block, so we're given 1 week, but we'll see how that works for fans and clubs alike. Just on you saying it benefits Celtic and Rangers, the two teams, obviously the two teams in that European competition. So actually, mm-hmm. it does help them along with the other European sides. There seems to me today, obviously, and this is a year where the spotlight is really shining on the Scottish Premiership. I'm fully invested in the league this year, really enjoying it and the race so on. But there seems to be, and maybe I'm getting this wrong, maybe I'm actively searching for it, John, but there's just a little bit of games, a little bit of, you know, mind warfare in between the press and what players are saying, a little bit from Rangers, a little bit of Celtic, and I've heard a few ex-Rangers players and pundits saying that, well, all this pressure on Celtic, and they're very quick to keep reminding people of this. Is this something that you're picking up on also?
You know, the media in Scotland is, you know, its own beast, and I think because it's such a small country with two massive clubs, there's only a few newspaper outlets really, but they are all generating big news all the time. So the word of pundits and ex-pros is golden for some of these outlets, and they're more than happy to see them run, you know, more outlandish perhaps comments or headlines. I think it's all part and parcel of the good fun of it for me. I don't really get bothered by what ex-Rangers players say or ex-Celtic players. You know, I take it all in kind of good fun. I think that Celtic fans will be well used to crowing from Ibrox. You know, I think we went into the winter break last year with the Rangers having beaten us again. They were actually level on points with us heading into that. And there was a lot of talk in the two-week break, a lot of talk from the Rangers side. Ex-pros saying this and that. Rangers have closed the gap, etc. And Celtic went on to storm the second half of the season. So they better just be a little bit careful about what they're saying. I think you'll see from the Rangers players themselves aren't getting too excited, but they are letting some of these, you know, the Ibrox mouthpieces do the talking. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, it certainly will. I mean, I know you can't wait to see how it plays out. As a Celtic fans, I can't wait to see how it plays out either. But it is Partick Thistle on the weekend. John, very quickly, what will they bring and what is your score prediction?
Well, Partick have been really struggling this season. I think Celtic will have far too much for them. I think we'll have a good buoyant crowd. It's a good Saturday evening fixture. I'll go for 3-0 Celtic.
I didn't expect anything else, John. Well, it was always a pleasure. This half hour was absolutely flown by, John. Next week, we'll be able to talk about that Partick Thistle game and obviously look towards the games that are upcoming up. If you want more Celtic content and you want to get in touch with John, please find him at the Grand Old Podcast. Well, this has been the Celtic Fan Show. And remember, you can always have your say. Just tweet us, just call us. It is simple. It is easy. We're here every Tuesday at the same time, 8:30 to 9 on the Celtic Fan Show.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.